Hello and welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward alongside Jeremy File, a little bit of Ohio State, Michigan State recap, a little bit of ACC Big Ten Challenge action coming up this week. We're going to talk about that and then obviously what kind of transpired over the weekend with both Michigan and Michigan State basketball. Before we do that, the name of our show is Trouble with the Snap and Justin Fields had a lot of trouble with a lot of snaps on Saturday. Didn't seem to bother him any as Ohio State just cruises past the Spartans. We were talking about Mel Tucker's ability to get the guys up for a big game. That may not necessarily be the case. Maybe Northwestern and Michigan were both wildly overrated. And, but look, Justin Fields, a lot of improvising, and that was the one thing that he wasn't prepared for. And this is the, I mean, other than the fact that Hayward was in, and you're trying to run a stretch play on third down and three on the first series of the game with your slowest running back, I've got a problem with that. And, we've talked about the players being utilized incorrectly, but the gap assignment on this team this year has been horrible. The gap control, staying in position and stuff like that was one thing where the only time Mark D'Antonio really had a problem with it was his 3-9 season, and that's because Malik McDowell was playing for himself. And right now, they just cannot stay home for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean it's just bad. I mean, look, I think we had some positivity coming into the game, and I hate to say positivity through positive COVID tests because that's a terrible thing to say, but I think we were a little optimistic due to the circumstances that Ohio State was down a lot of players. And it's funny, Tyler, you're watching the game and you see the pregame stuff and then you see the players come out. It just seemed like Ohio State was the team excited to play. And I think no matter how excited you are to play or not, Ohio State is really hard to beat. But I was a little surprised to the fact that Ohio State seemed to be much more energetic, much more excited to play. Obviously, they executed well, but like you had mentioned at the beginning, they didn't snap the ball well. They had a backup in there. Justin Fields is just a stud, and Michigan State just could not do anything. And here's the thing I have to say. I mean, Tyler's been right a lot this year, and he's right again. I don't understand how you can't see that there's one quarterback probably better than the other. He's proven it enough in some game action. That's Peyton Thorne. And Rocky Lombardi is just not the answer. And Tyler had mentioned this multiple times. He is right again. Rocky Lombardi's had some good moments, but wildly inconsistent again. And he was just drilled in. And this was a beatdown. And I just didn't expect the tire to be that bad. But there's got to be some changes. But I will say this, I thought Mel Tucker made it very clear he's not going to accept this. I mean, this is unacceptable for him. And I thought that had to be a little positive for the Spartan fans.
Yeah, and look, well, I'm going to kind of tie the positivity thing and the Lombardi thing together is it's not I think Thorne should definitely be the starter. I've said that since spring ball. I think I've said it since spring ball that I thought Thorne should be the starter over Lombardi. And, as you said, I was right, just like I was right about Julius Marble. But – just trying to boost my ego here a little bit, but yeah, the bad play of Lombardi's not 100% on him. The unacceptable thing, Mel Tucker's talking about his players. It falls on the coaches. It falls on the coaches too. You can run into a second and nine situation, and then you're going to run the ball into the teeth of that defense again. When, look, part of the reason Ohio State gives up so many passing yards is because other teams are playing from behind. Negative game script, you're going to throw the ball. I get that. But, and despite, Sean Wade being, a top 10 talent in regards to the NFL draft, you have to throw the ball on them still. And when it's second and nine, and you're going to run it right up the gut again, you might as well freaking have Dave Warner back.
Sure.
And I told everybody we were going to miss Brad Salem because because Brad Salem at least got his guys in the right positions to best utilize them. And that's not something that's happening. I should not be able to sit there on that first, and I mean, I say the first one just because it kind of dictated how the game was going to go. On that first series, it's third down and three. The second, Michigan State came out in that formation. I said, oh, crap. My wife looks at me. She goes, what's wrong? I was like, Hayward's going to get stuffed. I was like, they're going to try to run it off the right side. Everybody saw that coming. If I saw that coming, what do you think a defensive coordinator who actually studies, not just watches, Michigan State's going to say? Not only a defensive coordinator for a top 10 or a top 4 football team. Like, that's not acceptable. And, you know, Mel Tucker's right. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable for the coaches to put the players in the wrong positions. It's not acceptable for the wrong guys to be playing. None of it is. And if you want to sit there and you want to act like it's all on the players and you want to just try to pump up this unacceptable crap to try to help build your recruiting, which you realize that you need to do, it falls on the coaches too.
Oh, it absolutely
and
does.
If you, if, you know, it fell on the coaches a couple of years ago, like many years ago, rather, against Ohio State, with John L. Smith, Mr. The coaches are screwing it up for the kids. You know, you get that type of – I mean, it wasn't 100% that bad. Some of it was player execution for whatever reason. Sloppiest tackling I've ever seen from Michigan State football team since John L. Smith. But, I mean, that's the situation is – when you also run it on second down and nine and you get a yard, all of a sudden you're shoving third and long in Rocky's face and you're trying to get him to convert 10-yard passes, which we know he can only do over 20 yards at a time. Like, it was a poorly coached team, and that's been the problem. That was the reason why Michigan State didn't run away with the Northwestern game, was the coaching. That was the – I mean, I'm not going to say it was the reason they lost to Ohio State. There was a lot of reasons. Some of it is Ohio State's backups are just better personnel than Michigan State's starters. That is what it is. But if you're going to say it's unacceptable, you got to point fingers at yourself too.
Oh, I think there's no question. I think it's all around bad. I mean, we can all admit that. I think it's just – the thing about this, Tyler, is – you know, we watched the Wisconsin-Michigan game, right? And Wisconsin just pummels Michigan. And McNamara comes in, and look, maybe they didn't have enough film on him, I get it, but the momentum shifts a little. He brings them down the field. Kids are excited. And I just feel like with Peyton Thorne, there's a little bit of that as well. And, I mean, he makes the right reads. He makes the right decisions. And, look, there's just little things that can happen with your football program and team that can kind of push you forward. And I just kind of don't understand the decision-making, why they hadn't noticed it, because he's done it a few times now. I mean, this has happened a few times where Thorns came in and played pretty well. And, you know, we've seen it. What was the Indiana game, right? Didn't he move him down the field a little bit? Or what was the game? Yeah, I mean, he's played better. He looks better. And it's a mixture of both. You're absolutely right. The coaching, the play calling has to be better. You have to start the game off with a much better plan than they had. You know, second and long running the ball, bad idea. Third and three, giving it to Hayward, bad idea. Especially with the
simple
run that they do.
Yeah, if you want to give it to him up the middle, if you want to sit there and try to, you know, control when you run the ball, run the ball on your terms is the phrase Tucker always uses. If you want to run the ball, if you want to run the ball on your terms, you can do it in a smarter way than trying to run a stretch play with the slow guy.
Yeah, stretch play with Hayward against Ohio State is you're doomed. I mean, there's just – I was sitting there going, what are they doing? You know, I it's a mixture of both. Look, we knew this season was going to be rough for Michigan State. I think we were more surprised how bad Michigan was. But I think that, look, you got one more game left and you have to somehow
– Two more.
You know, yeah, two more games, excuse me. But I think you have to figure out, okay, what are we going to do moving forward? And I think it always starts with quarterback. And, you know, gosh, Michigan State's in a much better position than Michigan. I mean, we don't even know who is going to play this week if they do play. Just bad, bad, bad all around in Michigan's psyche and culture because, you know, already Milton, the transfer talk's happening. So, look, I just think Thorne really conducts himself well out there. I mean, he's smooth. He makes the right reads. They're quick throws. They mentioned that on the telecast. Boy, he makes quick throws, and you have to have that against some of these teams. I mean, You know, Lombardi passed the ball a few times. You know, he's a big kid. He's strong. But I think moving forward, you have to have a decision here. And you got a really good freshman coming in next year. So, look, I mean, make the decision.
Well, it's also a good idea for those quick throws because Jaden Reed and Jalen Naylor are playmakers. You get them the ball early, and look, you can have the ball travel 5 yards in the air downfield and turn it into a 70-yard touchdown. I mean, if that's what you got to do, you go ahead and do that. Those guys are playmakers. Get them the ball early. Let them make the plays. Trey Mosley's a strong receiver. You know, he can power through for a couple more after, you know, a three yard button hook or something like that. If you want to run that play, and you know, he can turn it upfield and get a couple more running through a corner like that. Yeah. You have the weapons, and that was the one thing we said is quarterback will decide if this is a decent season for Michigan State or a bad season for Michigan State.
And no, I think so for sure. I think they're just better with Thorne. They look better. I think he's the guy for the future. Been around a couple of years, and I think the freshmen they have coming in will, you know, it'll be very similar to Michigan next year with McNamara. I think will start, and you know, McCarthy is going to be right on his heels, and I think the same thing will happen next year with Michigan State, where Thorne has conducted himself well. You got a really good freshman coming in that will be on his heels. You have two quarterbacks that can lead your program for a while. I just think you have to make this decision. I mean, look, these are tough decisions. This is not a knock on Rocky Lombardi. He's a great kid. He's a great athlete. I find him to be a type of guy that you need on the field no matter what. I mean, I could see him play a tight end or something different. I mean, I just think quarterback for the future, Thorne's your guy. And Tyler called it. And he's right again. And it's been seen. We've noticed it enough. We have enough results. We have enough of a resume on the kid. I mean, he was 11 for 11, Tyler. I don't care what the score is.
Came 12 for 12, against, technically yeah. That because, I mean, if you want to include that Sean Wade, nice diving interception, he was 12 for 12. But even that was just like 6 inches off being a Jaden Reed touchdown. And, you know, I sort of get why Tucker wanted to start with Lombardi, but at this point it's time to close that book. You know, he's a junior. Thorne's a freshman, you know, and that's something where you have to just – look at the long game a little bit too. And I get how sexy it was when you saw Rocky Lombardi's arm. He's got a cannon. I would love to put that arm on Peyton Thorne and let him work with it. But, sure. You know, that's just not the situation that you have. You have to pick one or the other. And right now, you know, you want to run the ball. You still have the D'Antonio philosophy. You're just a little more energetic about it. You know, run the ball, defense, you know, you change up the scheme defensively, 4-2-5 to work with today's offenses, but it's the same setup. And so you need a guy who can complete those short passes when you get in a 3rd-and-2 situation. And Rocky's just not that guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree.
But let's turn our attention. And there are some sluggish starts over the weekend. You know, the first one, obviously, Michigan versus UCF. A sluggish start, a fantastic finish. Michigan just locking it down defensively. Hunter Dickinson doing what he wanted to do. You know, just another game where this kid's got to be building some hardcore confidence.
I was actually very impressed with Michigan because you know how I've been pretty pessimistic about this team. You know, they started off again like they typically have this year, just not very good defensively. And what they're doing is they're bringing in guys like Williams and Johns who can really defend. And when Dickinson's in there, he's a shot blocking threat and he's just got great hands where he can clean up the glass. And they're coupling that with a guy like Brown who's just got tons of experience. And what happens is when Wagner gets in foul trouble or Isaiah Livers is just not playing very well, you have a few guys that can come in and do a good job. So that was really enlightening really for me because I thought, wow, if this team can play that way defensively, they got a really good shot to be pretty good. The jury's out as always with Michigan because I just don't think they're ultra talented yet. But I do think the bright side is you do have a freshman big man who's really coming in, like you said, and he's going to have some confidence. Just great hands and just such a big kid. And I'm really impressed with Terrence Williams. I mean, he has played very well. I thought he would be the one freshman that just wouldn't do much because they really only have three freshmen that you could see play right now, and Zeb Jackson, Williams, and Dickinson. Williams has been the guy where he has really impressed me, Tyler. He can shoot a little bit. He's strong. He's good on defense. He's the type of kid you want in this conference. He's big. He's strong. 6'7", 220. And Shondre Brown, I mean, wow, what a pickup. I mean, he has really, really fast-tracked this thing for this year because without him, I think they'd be in big trouble. He has been great. He is their best shooter right now, Tyler. He really is. I mean, he's open. He hits them. He's very smooth, wonderful pull-ups, an able ball handler, doesn't turn it over. Because I think Isaiah Livers has had some really bad moments this year. And Brown comes in and just takes over. So I'm impressed. I'm happy with the way they played. They got a long ways to go. That was a team that athletically they had to play better. So that was good to see him, win with a comfortable lead like that. But, and Mike Smith, he's the point guard that I was really worried about coming in. A few games in, I just thought, man, I just don't know if he's going to be able to do enough for us. But with him and Brooks kind of teaming up and a few other guys off the bench, solid, very solid, and doesn't change how my thoughts are. It's still a team you got to worry about. And hopefully they can build off this.
Yeah, I think that this is kind of what we saw. I don't know, I guess my big thing is can this team put it together like they did the second half of UCF, throughout the course of the season? Now, I'm not saying, oh, well, they're gonna beat everybody down. What was it, like 30-12 in the second half or something stupid like
Yeah.
that? Like, I'm not saying like it's gonna be that half in and half out or whatever, but is this a team that can like keep that consistency up, given the fact that these freshmen that are coming in, we knew they were going to get a lot of play, but we didn't realize how significant that play would be.
Yeah, I think what they're doing a really good job of that a few guys have mentioned this when I follow the team is they move the ball well. It's not like Simpson, it's stuck in his hands and it's ball screen action and just play off him. They like to swing it around, and
Right.
when they hit shots, they're pretty darn good. The problem is like I said to you this weekend, Michigan State is such a good shooting team. They got four or five guys that are just really lights out when they're open. Michigan doesn't have that still. And I thought Livers, and Wagner would be a little more consistent from outside when they're open. They have not been. I think Eli Brooks and Brown are the two guys that have shot the ball better than anyone else. That's going to be the key for them because you're not going to be able to swing it around like that against certain teams. You're going to have to come off screens, hit shots, and contested shots. They've missed a lot of open shots, even against UCF as much as they dominated. That was defense. That was defense and runouts and getting wide open looks and then being able to finally finish. But they missed so many open threes, and I'm yelling because I'm like, get me an open three like that, please. And I think that will be the thing to look for, Tyler, is can they shoot the ball better? Because this is kind of the same thing we've noticed even under Beilein. When they don't shoot the ball well, they're just not very good. And I still think it's kind of the same thing. They got to shoot well. But last thing, when Hunter Dickinson's in, though, it creates some offensive rebounding. Because he is a big body down there. So if they can get some easy putbacks on missed shots, that helps. So we'll see, man. I'm really happy, though, because I thought that was the best they looked, obviously. And it kind of gave me an outlook like if they can play that way, they're going to be a lot tougher to beat.
And on one hand, you got one team playing like or looking like the best they'd look. On the other hand, you got Michigan State looking as bad as they've looked all season. UDM game a lot closer than it should have been. Gabe Brown and Julius Marble, couple bench studs. I mean, that's my one positive. Bench guys carrying the load at the end of the game. Stepping up during winning time. It wasn't Aaron Henry, it wasn't Rocket Watts, it wasn't Joey Hauser. It was Julius Marble and Gabe Brown, which just completely baffled me. I was fine with it. I was cool with it. And then you go and you look at the Western Michigan game. Slow start before Joey Hauser put the video game on easy and just started lighting up from wherever he friggin' wanted to. And I mean, look, that's 80 minutes worth of basketball right there. Michigan State played like crap for 72 of them. You know, is that a reason for concern? Like, is it just, I heard the phrase when I was watching Izzo's post game interview, and I'm not really a fan of it. They said winning fatigue. I'm going to go with complacency. I mean, is that what that is? Like, because this Michigan State team, look, we saw how good they can defend a team as freakish as Duke is, and just completely lock them down for the last 75% of that game. And then when you watch them against UDM, no answer. Against Western Michigan, no answer. Like, can this team be that good defensively, or is this a problem where, and I'm going to steal Duke's excuse, oh, they're just too young.
No, I don't think it's a concern. I think what it is, it's kind of something that Michigan ran into when they played Oakland. I think they ran into two teams who were really excited to play them. They played really, really well. And I think it's different when you play Duke. You're up for that game, right? It's college kids, man. Emotions run high. I mean, and we're seeing this with Kentucky. I mean, every team that plays them is just excited to beat them. I mean, they want to beat them. It's the name, right? So I think it's an in-state thing. You know, U of D, Western Michigan, really excited to play Michigan State, playing their hardest, playing their toughest. Yeah, and I think Michigan State maybe got a little complacent, and that will definitely not be acceptable under a Tom Izzo coach team and staff. So I think that there's no really reason to be concerned. I think there's a couple things, though, when you get into the tournament, when you play fast teams, they're going to have to find a way to play certain lineups that can move laterally better. As Hauser is a great offensive pickup. Him and Thomas and Malik Hall, those are guys that struggle against smaller guys. So I think that Tom will have that figured out. I don't think there's any reason to be concerned in Michigan State then. They won the games. They finished the game strong. The Western game, they really finished a lot better than U of D. U of D was just a lot of fast guards, and they just didn't keep them in front of them. And a lot of tough shots, too, by, Antoine Davis, by the way. I mean, those were tough shots on Rocket Watts. So,
Yeah, he had a hand up in his face. Like, that's all
so I don't think there's any concern, Tyler. I mean, I think there's a couple things you got to tinker with, a couple lineups that you got to look at against faster guards. And one concern, though, is this, and I know Tom, you could tell he was getting pissed, was I thought Western Michigan had moments where they really crashed the glass on them, and that's just really unacceptable for Michigan State. I mean, you're one and done against them. You know, they're clearing you out, and they're running, and I thought Western did a great job of getting some second-chance points at time, but that will be fixed, too. I mean, we know that. So, no concern. But, yeah, when you play faster teams, look, I hate to bring it up, but Middle Tennessee State, that was the same deal where Michigan State and their style just really didn't match up well. So you have to fix that. And they have Gabe Brown. They have guys like Henry. They have when Langford's there. And then you have Marble, who are a little quicker, a little better laterally. You're going to have to look at those lineups against those teams.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that most impresses me this season is Henry's leadership. You know, when you get a guy who, you know, he's planning on bouncing to the NBA, and let's be real, that's his plan, is to leave after this season. If it was not his plan to leave after this season, he would not have went out last season and gotten the advice of some people. And so that's his plan. Normally when those guys come back, you know, they're about to lose. Mm-hmm. Well, you look at that sideline. He is in that Cassius Winston role on the sideline. He is in that Cassius Winston role on the court. He is joining Malik Hall and Gabe Brown after game shootouts, working on his shot, because look, that's been his one problem so far this season, is he's just not getting that shot to fall. And if he can I don't know if I'm going to say can develop that, because we don't know what he did over the summer. Maybe he did. But if he can get it to fall a little more consistently, at least, you know.
Yeah.
That's a first-team All-American.
Let's not forget. I mean, I want to add this, and I feel bad for not even mentioning it. I think Rocket Watts has been fantastic. I mean, I think he has just been such a scoring threat. And he is just – every time he has the ball and he's making a move, I feel like it's going in. And that floater is just fantastic. And, he's just a very good player, and he's a different player. You know, he's different than Cassius, where he's got some athleticism.
He's Caleb.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, he has been very special so far. He's going to be key for this team still. I don't think that will change at all, no matter what happens. And, man, he is a scorer. I mean, he can flat-out score. I think he's conducted himself pretty darn good as running the team, too. I mean, he's slowed down a little bit. He's got the ball to certain guys. And I think that will only improve.
Correct.
I really do.
Against Michigan. And, you know, at the end of the game, I guess he was asking Izzo to stay in because he was like, man, I got six assists. I want more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive. And, you know, that's something that I think, you know, that's the best comparison I can make. You got a guard who sits there. And, yeah, he is really ball dominant still. But he can get people open. And I think – and he can score like Kalen Lucas. And that – you throw in his defense on top of that, like, this is a kid who's got a chance to be really, really special.
He's an NBA guard. That's an NBA guard out there. I mean, that's a kid that can play and score from all levels. He can defend.
He's got to play.
No, absolutely. I mean, this is why he'll be there another year, you know, to get even better as a leader and to run the show for 2 years.
Because Henry will be gone.
And I'm just impressed with him. And it's certainly nice to see two teams winning. It's early. You know, we don't know about Michigan. We know Michigan State's the Final Four contending team. But, man, it's really nice to talk about basketball because, boy, oh, boy, this has been a brutal football year. And it's certainly nice to watch some good basketball. I'll say that.
Well, we're both from the state of Michigan, you know. Look, Darryl Bevel has the highest winning percentage in NFL
history. What a weekend.
Right?
You know, how many weekends have we said, what another terrible weekend? Well, this has been a pretty good weekend.
It was all right. It was all right. It wasn't, you know, as good as the last weekend, but it was pretty good still. This week, you know, obviously we'll break down the games. Battle for the ugliest trophy between the two premier land-grant schools, Penn State and Michigan State, as they play on Saturday. We'll break down Ohio State and Michigan if it happens.
Done so far. We'll see.
We'll take a look at those games. But coming up this week, and we'll just get quick thoughts, and then obviously we'll hit the recap when we preview the football games. Michigan State versus North Carolina State, NWO Light, the Wolfpack against the Wolverines.
Well, that's postponed. They've actually postponed the game from what I've read. So I don't know if that's for sure. That's what I've been reading all day. So
I saw that earlier today that it was a possibility. But I just got out of a coaching game my own, and so I don't know if anything has changed during that time. But we will, like I said, we'll recap that if it is on. It looks like it is in severe jeopardy. Looks like there was – I don't remember who NC State was supposed to be playing. Looks like they have a COVID case there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I've
so
read all reports
probably
postponed.
A good thing
so,
that,
you know, if anything changes, we'll let you guys know.
And then the Hauser Bowl, 2020, Joey versus Sam, Virginia versus Michigan State ACC Big Ten Challenge. Your thoughts on that real quick?
Another knock them down, drag them out fight for these two teams. It'll be physical. I think Michigan State's just such a better team right now. Virginia's had their struggles, obviously losing to San Fran. So I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. I think Michigan State's the better team. But then again, you know, these college games and basketball is different. Not like football. I mean, anything can happen on any given night. Michigan State has struggled a little bit lately, so maybe there's some more of that against Virginia. Virginia's still good. I mean, they're talented. Don't get me wrong. That's a really good team. But I just think Michigan State is so deep and so talented right now. And, you know, what are they four now? Number four, top five team. And that's got to be some confidence there. We'll see. But I definitely think Michigan State should win that game for sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of the route I'm going to because look, when you watch these two teams play historically, the thing that always gets Virginia, you know, to the level that they are, so to speak, the reason why they get so pumped up every year and all that type of stuff is because they just slow you down and they slug it out with you and they just beat you down and everything else. And, you know, that's their plan. What Michigan State's always been able to do, and it's a little bit of a concern this year, so far anyways, because I don't know if Hauser's necessarily got it in regards to rebounding and defense. Well, Michigan State's always been able to do, they've always been able to match that toughness. And then on top of it, they're able to run. And so, like, it's just a bad matchup for Virginia, I think, because Watts is tough. He's a great defender. Henry is tough. He's a great defender. Brown is tough. He's been a great defender this season. You know, we'll see if it holds, but he's been a great defender this season. And when you factor all of that type of stuff together, on top of Julius Marble is going to probably be the, you know, the center that you have to look at if you want to match that toughness, because you cannot match that toughness with Hauser and Kiffin, period. You know, you have to play Marble. Marble is your guy. Bingham is your second guy, just because that length is a pain in the butt no matter what style you're playing. And you put that type of stuff together, you know, it's a situation where if the right guys play, Michigan State should walk away with this thing.
Yeah, I can see a double digit win if they just play it to their capability, and they got to come out with some. With some, you know, resolve right away. I mean, they can't start the game off the way they have the last few, and I don't think they will. I mean, I think they'll be excited for an ACC Big Ten Challenge game, especially against Virginia, who's been, you know, recent national champion not too long ago, 2 years ago. So
the reigning national champion.
Wow, great point. Great point.
You get the reigning national champions versus the team that would have won it last year.
Right. There's, I mean, you could use that for the rest of your life because there's, you know, no fact against that. You know, that there's a strong possibility they could have won it. Yeah, Virginia reigning champ. Great point. Yeah, this will be they'll be up for this one. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about a too late start for that one anyways, 9:15. Maybe they should bump it up to that 7:15 slot if Michigan doesn't play. I'd be cool with, you know, going to bed.
I totally agree with that one.
But, look, that does it for us today on the Trouble with the Snake podcast. Like I said, we'll recap those games later in the week. Preview Michigan State, Penn State, potentially Ohio State, Michigan. You know, both of Michigan's big highlights this week, North Carolina State in basketball, Ohio State in football, both up in the air, as are Ohio State's Big Ten Conference.
I cannot believe I said Michigan would beat Ohio State this year. I totally am upset with my pick this year. I wanted to get people excited. I wasn't thinking that day at all.
Look, that just means like, you know, whatever you bought, whatever drugs you were taking or whatever, you know, you need to sit with that dealer.
It's the vaccine. I did the vaccine, and it made me think Michigan would be good in football. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's enough reason for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly.
But, look, that does it for us here on the Trouble with the Snake podcast. For Jeremy File, I am Tyler Hayward. Y'all have a good night.